Production. Recorded live.
All right, welcome to this evening's conference call. This is episode 24, by the way, so it's our 24th recorded conversation here on TalkShoe. And if anybody wants to listen to the past conversations, they can come onto the TalkShoe site and put our number in there, or find us as Liberty Alliance, and they can listen to all of the past episodes, or they can go up to NewYorkCommittee.org, and on the left side you'll see a TalkShoe box. You can listen by hitting play on, and it'll play the last episode that we recorded. And there's also a drop-down box, so you can go back to episodes. We do give a title to every episode, so you can go back and find certain categories or subject matters that you'd like to talk about, and we usually give a little bit of an information about what that particular title was about. Tonight, we're going to focus in on the grand jury, and what you're going to hear tonight is simply amazing. If you're really looking for something to do, we have found it. It's now time to get the word out. I don't know that we want to alert news or anybody like that concerning what we're doing here. I think what we need is to work networking and start working with the liberty groups throughout the state of New York. We want to get a presence in every county, teach every group within a county what's going on, what to do, and then they're off to saving the state and hopefully eventually the country. And this is how big this is. So let me get started. We're going to talk about a Supreme Court ruling. In a stunning 6-3 decision by the U.S. Supreme Court, this particular court case was written up by Justice Antonin Scalia, and I'm sure everybody knows who he is. And this particular case was decided in 1992. And so the first question is how come it's taken so long to get anywhere? And I believe this case was filed in California, and the case is the United States versus Williams, and they were probably a group of people who were trying to set up a grand jury, was having problems. They ended up in a lawsuit, and it made its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the nine kings up there in Washington ruled on it, and again, in a stunning 6-3 decision. So this is really, really huge. And when you hear what the decisions were, you're going to be amazed. You know, we went up to Chautauqua this past weekend, and we had quite a few people up there, and we kind of led with this particular part of the story in our presentation, which wasn't really planned for, because we really just started to pick this up earlier, late that week or right before the weekend. We've been looking at the grand jury for quite some time, and knowing that it's going to play a role in what we're doing, we knew it had strength and power, but we didn't realize how much, and we didn't really have the insight or the details. Anyway, by fate, I think, this situation came up, and someone shared some documents with me, and I started looking at these documents, and then I couldn't put them down. I stayed up all night going through this stuff and into the next day, and then I headed out west, and when I came back, I've been getting into it since. And the more and more we look at this, the more and more powerful this looks. This is the solution to America's problems. This is the answer. And I'm going to say something very, very amazing, And you're not going to believe it, but I think by the time the end of the evening's done, I think you are going to believe it. We can save the Republic in the state of New York in 90 days. We can reset the political clock. We can bring things back to 1789. We can reset the political back to 1789, and we can set the judicial system process right back to 1789, start afresh with power and total control over the entire government of the state of New York. And I believe by the time we get that done, it'll be moving like a wildfire throughout the rest of the country, because other states will have no other. They'll see it. Once they see what we're doing, they're going to want to emanate what we're doing. And so this is huge. Let's just look a little bit at this court case. And by the way, anybody who wants to download a paper, which we have all this information we want to talk about tonight, is up there online. You can go to NewYorkCommittee.org, click on the judicial page, judicial process. So NewYorkCommittee.org, click on the judicial process on the left side. When you get on that page, on the top of the page, there are a bunch of tabs. It's the first one in the second row. It says jury. Click on the jury. Refresh the page a couple of times if you've been onto this page recently, because this has been updated very recently. And sometimes you may be seeing what's on your computer, an old page. Scroll down just a little bit under the video, which you should come back later and watch this video. But scroll down under the video, you'll see how to establish a grand jury in your county. And if you click on Common Law Grand Jury Rules, How to Save Our Republic, that's pretty much going to give you all the information that we're going to be talking about tonight. We also have the complete case decision written by Antonin Scalia right underneath it. It says Grand Jury Status. It's U.S. versus Williams. That's the case name. So you can click on both of those. They're PDF files. Download them to your computer. Save them. Might be able to skim through as we're talking a little bit, but you want to pay close attention to what I'm going to say because it is the greatest news since the Declaration of Independence. This is so huge. I can't even tell you how huge this is. Let me begin by saying, as I mentioned, that Scalia wrote it for the majority on a 6-3 decision, and it confirmed that the American grand jury is neither part of the judicial, executive, nor legislative branches of government, but it instead belongs to the people. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government, governed and administered to directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. Now, I don't know if you realize how huge that statement is and how important that statement is. I want to read that one more time because this is just huge. The American grand jury is neither part of the judicial, executive, nor legislative branches of government, but instead belongs to the people. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government. This was the process by which our founding fathers gave the authority and the ability for the people to rule the judicial, the executive, and the legislative branches. They cannot disobey it. So let me finish off again. In effect, a fourth branch of government, governed and administered to directly by and behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. Now, that means that the grand jury out there that we hear of that's been convicting all these people is a fraud. It is an illegal process. It is a puppet of the elite. It is controlled by legislation using the minions of the court, which are the judges and the lawyers who execute and exercise statutory law and not common law. They're an abomination to the court, and they have controlled the jury for as long as I've known. We've heard the argument that we want jury nullification, and it is written in our New York State Constitution that jury nullification is a right of the people, and it's Article 1, Section 8 of the New York State Constitution says that the jury gets to decide both facts and law. And the judge always takes control of the jury at the end of a trial and then dictates to them how they are to rule, because he dictates to them the law and what they have to do and how they have to. And it's not law at all. It is not law at all. These are statutes. And so we've had a puppet grand jury. As a matter of fact, we've even discussed, since we're looking at this, maybe we have to indict the grand jury that exists today. But there's other ways to deal with that. We don't have to do that. That was kind of extreme. But the idea crossed the mind. So the grand jury, let's look a little bit about what the Supreme Court of the United States, the highest court of the land, has said. And let me tell you something. I was talking with a friend of mine, an associate, and what were these things that we're doing, and we both came to the same conclusion, both separate from each other, that we have a lot of friends on the higher courts. It may not seem so, But I want to tell you, we have a lot of friends on the high courts, specifically on the federal courts. So there's so many great rulings out there that we can use, and this is definitely one of them. This is our power. This is, the authority is the people. Now, the people haven't been able to put forth their will, and the government will not obey it. But now we have enforcement, and that enforcement is U.S. Supreme Court. And we're going to we've looked at different possible problems we may have trying to take control of this system, and we found that there's a way to deal with each and every one of these problems, which we'll discuss later. I'm sure people will bring those possible problems up, and we have the answers to those problems. But anyway, the authority is the people. The enforcement of this process is the U.S. Supreme Court. And we can enforce it through a true writ of mandamus and also using U.S. Codes 42 and 18, and we can have enforcement. But in any event, here's some of the conclusions of the U.S. Supreme Court in this ruling, United States versus Williams. It says that the grand jury is a constitutional fixture in its own right. This is amazing. The grand jury is not spoken of in the body of the Constitution. You find it in the Bill of Rights, and they've acknowledged the fact that it is a constitutional fixture in its own right. It says that the Fifth Amendment, the court said that the Fifth Amendment demands a traditional, functional, common law grand jury. You know, the question comes out is why, since 1992, has this not come out? First of all, lawyers don't read case law, at least not on this level. They're too involved in all their statutory law, so this kind of, a lot of this stuff just goes out there. The only people that really look at this stuff are the people who want to be free, the people who want to save the republic, the people who want to make changes. Those are the people that look at these things. And this group out, probably in California is where this case took place, they are probably have exercised the grand jury in their county. But you don't know about it because the news is not going to tell you about it. The news is controlled, and they're definitely not going to reveal this to you. And this may even have leaked into a few counties. Well, here in New York, we want to do 62 counties, and we're on a tour of the state right now in order to accomplish that feat. And we need the help of every person in this room that's listening and anybody that's listening to us over the recording once that's posted after tonight's meeting. We need the assistance of everyone to start to organize their counties, to start to get as many liberty-minded people as possible together to meet so that we can establish a grand jury in every county. And the possibilities are endless. Literally, we can reset the political and judicial clock back to 1789. Anyway, the Supreme Court went on to say the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts. It said the courts do not preside over the functioning of the common law grand jury. They said courts have no supervisory judicial authority over the common law grand jury. You know, right now the grand jury are people who are paid. They get a government paycheck. They're controlled by the courts. And the prosecutor gets to bring the cases, not the grand jury. They don't seek out cases. They don't look for justice. They don't try to straighten things out. All of these criminal prosecutors, they're the ones that bring the cases to the grand jury, and then they go out and boast on how they can go around and indict a ham sandwich. Well, we're going to send them home to eat their ham sandwich if we, the people in New York State, step up to take control and take back this republic of ours. They went on to say the grand jury functions independently from the judicial branch. Grand jury can investigate merely on suspicion that a law is being violated. And it doesn't take much to find a law violated in our great servant government. Every place I go, it doesn't matter whether I go to the court clerk, whether I go down to the Board of Election, to the town clerk, to even the clerks up in the sheriff's office where you go to get a permit. Unbelievable, we have to go ask permission to get a gun, but we're going to change that too. But in any event, no matter where you go into the courts, It's nothing but criminal activities. Right in your face, in front of you, they do whatever they please. They break the law. They do not obey even their own rules. They make it up as they go. No different than that of the Republican and Democratic parties. The same thing with them. They do what they want. They don't listen to the people. They're out of control. They're controlled by just a few people. Our courts are controlled by the Bar Association, using their minions, which are lawyers, and they control the whole system. Let me go on to tell you what else they say. Let me repeat the last one because it is hugely, hugely powerful. The grand jury can investigate merely on suspicion that the law is being violated. You can walk into any government office and start questioning these people, start investigating, requiring the opening of books to take a look to see what's going on. You can then bring them before the entire grand jury, and you can question them, and you can bring them to a situation where either they're going to start obeying the law and doing the right thing, or we're going to indict you. This is the power of the grand jury. This is huge. If we do this grand jury and we execute, we need to really give it strength and power, to really give it clout. We want to do it in all 62 counties, and we want to do it at the same time. Yeah, we can do it tomorrow in my county. Maybe a couple other people can get 25 people together and do it in their counties. But 62 counties together, working together, indicting together, doing the right thing, seeking out justice and requiring justice to be served in all of these different political or all of these different agencies, municipalities, and so on. So they can investigate merely on suspicion. They need not to identify the offender it suspects. They could do it secretly. The grand jury requires no authorization from its constituting court to initiate an investigation. Totally free. They're the free people. They're a fourth branch of government. They are the initiator and the creator of this government. They are we the people. We the people did ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now we the people get to exercise and execute that government to make sure that they do the right thing. So they operate, the grand jury operates also without the interference of a presiding judge. It swears in its own witnesses and deliberates in total secrecy. The grand jury remains free to pursue its investigations, unhindered by external influences. Now, those of us who know about the Continental Congress meeting in 2009, and they met, I believe, in November for 11 days in St. Louis, Missouri, and they came out with the Articles of Freedom, which was released on Christmas Eve of 2009. And we talked about, I think last week or the week before. We went up to Albany. The delegates that were elected with this Continental Congress went to Albany on April 19, 2010. And while they were in Albany, I think they were there maybe 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't remember the time. But every place, every state of the union at the very same time, all the delegates from each state were in their capital, the state capital, and they all delivered the Articles of Freedom at the very same time throughout the entire country, including Washington, D.C. They delivered the Articles of Freedom, which is 63 pages, I believe, to the governor of the state of New York, to the Senate, the New York Senate, and the New York Assembly. We have a video of that up online. We have documentary of it online, a couple of hours. We have a lot of information. We have the Articles of Freedom up there, too. And all you have to do is go up to newyorkcommittyman.org, click on today's issues, and on the top right side there's a tab that says Road to the Continental Congress, and you can watch all these videos that lead you through this whole process. When they went up to Albany, and this is probably the same way throughout the entire country, literally representatives in the hall, when they saw these people marching in, they did it under ceremony with flags and marched into the Capitol building to deliver to them the orders of the Continental Congress, of the elected Continental Congress, the representative being we the people. And they knew it was coming, they knew it was happening, and they were ducking into offices, into bathrooms, hiding behind their secretaries. All these representatives just ran, okay, like skunks, rats caught in the light, roaches. And so they ran away. So that told us they knew it was coming up. Well, now it's time that it could be reinforced. The grand jury has the ability, has the authority, has the power to enforce the Articles of Freedom on the three branches of government here in New York State. And when the other states get together and do what we're doing, then we collectively, as states, can enforce this upon the U.S. government. Anyway, the grand jury swears its own witnesses, deliberates in total secrecy, remains free to pursue investigations unhindered by external influences. The Fifth Amendment's constitutional guarantee presupposes an investigative body acting independently of either prosecuting attorney or judges. The Sixth Amendment right to counsel does not attach when an individual is summoned to appear before a grand jury. This is huge. This is powerful. Now, I just want to just cover real quick some of them, and that's pretty much the whole thing in a nutshell. Understand what this means. And we're going to look a little bit about how to construct the grand jury, then we're going to open up the phone lines for a conversation here. This is huge, and I want to reread this first line. This is stunning. The United States Supreme Court, in a 6-3 decision, confirmed that the American grand jury is neither part of the judicial, executive, or legislative branches of government, but instead belongs to the people. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government. It is the people who rules over them. It is the true consentors. It is the fourth branch of government, governed and administrated to directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights, not from the Constitution. It's above the Constitution. It's a statement of the box that we put the government into to require that they obey these particular rights. And if you want to know what the rest of my rights are, just ask me. And this is what the grand jury will enforce, and this is the kind of power. Now, how do you go about creating a grand jury? And by the way, the Supreme Court talked about this, and throughout their paper, you know, the decision made mention to the common law grand jury. This is huge. If you want to read the whole case, like I said, it's online. I showed you the page. You can read it later. We could discuss it another time, and you can learn from it. Okay, how to constitute a grand jury. I'm going to try to go through this very quickly. It's just two pages of sort of bullet points that I got here. It is up on the line on the page on how instruction to creating a law, creating a common law grand jury, but I want to go through it real quickly, and we'll open up the lines. How to constitute one. Grand jury members must be elected by the people, not citizens, of the jurisdiction county in which they are operating. You have to understand something. You have to be one of the people. You're not a citizen, a 14th Amendment citizen. When you use the word 14th Amendment citizen, when you use the word citizen in a court of law, it has a legal meaning. And just bear in mind, nations cannot have a citizen. How can you be a United States citizen? You say you're one of the people. You may be a citizen of New York, but I'd be very careful in a court of law to use that word citizen at all because of the implications given to it in its interpretation in our courts. So what's safe to call yourself is one of the people. So you have to be one of the people, okay, and they're elected by the people of the jurisdiction. We elect one for every county, one grand jury for every county. There are no rules defining a procedure for how they are elected. The people without the influence of government decide for themselves how the grand jury members are elected. We'll talk a little bit about that more in a few minutes. there must be 25 members. The grand juries that try to rule over us, I think there are 19 members, and some of them as little as 9, I think. And they're totally controlled by the government. They're government paid. They are screened. They're asked questions before they're selected. They're selected by the government and not by the people. And then they're controlled by the judge, someone who works for the Bar Association. Qualifications. Members must be the people of the jurisdiction and not citizens of the jurisdiction. For example, they must be a people of the state of New York and not citizen of the state of New York. Each member must be sworn in and promised to observe all these rules insofar as within his power cause all the rules to be observed. And the election procedure, we must do everything, by the way, we can to make sure that this is open and in public. And this is the election procedure we put together. And of course, people in every county can choose for themselves. This is what we suggest everyone to do. Once you have 25 people, choose a jury foreman and a secretary. 2, the grand jury secretary is to call the town hall in your county seat. In my case, Dutchess County would be Poughkeepsie. Poughkeepsie, New York is the county seat. Identify themselves as the grand jury secretary and secure the hall for a meeting and election of the new county grand jury. Now, remember, when you call these people, I'm going to tell you, these people are dumb. I mean, we're dumb, too, but we're now getting knowledge. We're now reading and looking into these things, and we're accumulating knowledge, and we're seeing how dumb these people really are. They have no clue what you're even talking about if you call them up and you secure a room. Remember, any citizen can call up their town hall and secure a room and get a date and a time, and if it's not being used by some other group, they have to let you use it. Well, this is the grand jury. Oh, sure, you can use it. Oh, so you're having a meeting, and you're going, oh, that's good, yeah, fine, why not? They have no reason to even question it. But we do have a procedure if you have a problem. We'll talk about that later. So anyway, you get the town hall, the county seat, and you have a meeting, an election. You post the date and time of the election on the bulletin boards of every town and city in your county and also in all the local newspapers. So if there are 25 people running for the position, which has to be 25, you have to have 25 people to create a grand jury. So I know my county, I think, has 17 towns and 2 cities. So that's 19 places we have to post. If one of every of the 25... actually, 6 or 7 of them don't even have to do anything. But we all take one postcard and go to the town halls in each town. You do it in your own town. And you post it on the wall. You let the county clerk know, hey, I'm posting this on the wall. Grand jury's having a meeting down here in an election down here in the county seat. We're going to just post this up. They don't even know what you're doing. Fine, yeah, go right ahead, do it. And it'll be something like this. This is you put it on a little index card, maybe a colored index card, and you type it up nice and pretty. And you write this: there will be a meeting and an election of a county grand jury at whatever your county is and seat and whatever the town hall name is, the town, on whatever weekday, date and time. And that's it. And you do the same thing. You get it posted with the local news. Now, when you come to meet, we're also putting together a procedure of what to do at that meeting and how to go through the election. And pretty much it's an open election. And we'll probably put together maybe a 10 or a 15-minute PowerPoint to educate the people who show up. A lot of the Liberty people, Liberty groups will be coming, of course, and then some public people will come in. But we'll put something that'll be very enticing to people and talk about common law and back to freedom and so on and so forth. Maybe 10 minutes long, and maybe a few people might want to say a few things. And then we'll just ask for the people to vote by raising their hands, all those for electing a grand jury for the county of whatever your county is. Here are the 25 individuals who jumped up, who stepped up to the servant for probably making a 2-year thing. And so we'll reelect them every 2 years. If new people want to come in, people who are in should step down and let new people come in. People, this should be a regular thing for people in their counties. We need to exercise this power and move it through the people. And through a showing of hands, we're sure to have the election taken place. And then there's another process. We're going to talk about a book. There's other little details we'll talk about later. But that's about it. And then the grand jury meets whenever they think, how often they should meet. We'll suggest meeting once a month. Any cases come up, you bring the cases up, you discuss them. I know people have to work. This is a voluntary thing, so you might meet in the evenings. You might have to meet for two or three evenings in that week in order to get through all the business. I don't know. It depends on your county. You may not even have that much business to deal with. But in the beginning, we will, because we have a lot of fixing to do in a lot of political places. All of these municipalities, these town courts, judges, sheriffs. We need to straighten them all out. We need to pull them all onto the carpet. We need to take a look to make sure there's no laws being broken and that they're obeying the Constitution. And we'll let them leave with some instructions on what they need to do for their, what's the duty of their office and what we expect them to do. And if we find out different, then we're going to be pulling them back on the carpet here before this grand jury. And if necessary, we will indict them. So the election procedure, there is a quorum. It says when a grand jury meets, if any are absent after being summoned, then those present constitute the quorum. So if you have 25 people coming together and only 20 show up, that's your quorum. You're done. You can go do what you got to do. It doesn't matter. Whoever shows up, and you do the business of the grand jury. All decisions of the grand jury are decided by majority vote of the members present. If any member dies or leaves the country or in any other way is prevented from carrying out the grand jury decisions, the remaining grand jurors shall choose another to fill the place, and he or she shall likewise be sworn in. We added to what was in our Constitution, the oath there, and we wrote up, I do solemnly swear that I will obey the Constitution for the United States of and the Constitution for New York State, and all directives and prohibitions, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the office of grand juror according to the best of my ability. Let's see what else. Jurisdiction. What jurisdiction does the grand jury has in your county and ultimately in the state? Remember, one of the reasons why we want to do, we have to do all 62 counties at the same time. If we get 58 counties or 50 counties, that's fine, but we want to get 62. When we come together as grand jurors, then collectively on a state level, each grand jury will select an individual from amongst them. And all grand jurors throughout the state will have one grand juror from each county meeting together on a state level to discuss what we can do with this totally out-of-control government up in Albany, and how we're going to advise them to obey the Constitution that is really spelled out for them in the Articles of Freedom. So we're going to push the Articles of Freedom. The SAFE Act is a thing of the past. Licenses or permits for guns is going to become a thing of the past. This is what the power of the grand jury can do. But anyway, the jurisdiction, any governmental transgression against anyone in any respect. Number two, any government breaking of articles of peace or security. Number three, any dispute regarding anyone who has been unconstitutionally detained or removed by the government without a legal sentence of his peer from his lands, his castles, his liberties, or lawful right. Anybody can come to the grand jury and bring a case before them. We don't need to have to wait for a prosecutor. Yeah, sure, a prosecutor can come there, but he or she better come pretty humbly. And matter of fact, we will pull the prosecutors onto the carpet, and we're going to talk about these illegal juries that they have set up in the state of New York, and we're going to discuss that. We have some strategies on that, and we'll talk about that later or another time or something. But we have a lot of strategies. I'm sure other people are going to have some great ideas about what they want to do. And again, each jury, 25 people in each county, is solely on their own. They act accordingly, according to their own conscience. So what's possible? We can turn back the political clock and judicial clock, 1789. We can indict in criminals, including judges and politicians. We can reinstate the real duties of the sheriff. We can get back our armories. We can get back our militia. We can force compliance to the Third Continental Congress 2009 Articles of Freedom. We can stop Agenda 21 literally overnight. We can get rid of GMOs in our food. We can ban high fructose corn syrup from our food. We can free the doctors, our doctors and medicines from the elite pharmaceutical companies. We can stop the chemtrails, over at least over the state of New York. We can force the courts to return to common law. We can delete the IRS from the state of New York. We can delete the United Nations in New York City. We can get rid of open political corruption. We can get rid of open judicial corruption. Whatever other just thing that you could think of, we can do all of the above, and we could do it in 90 days or less once we organize. We can literally save America through this process. And, you know, people say, well, I don't feel I'm qualified, I don't have knowledge, or I don't know what it is that I might need to do. Well, we're all in this together, and some people will get the knowledge quicker than others, and they'll lead the others. And really, it gets back to really two things. Ultimately, it's a process of logic and following the heart. We have to have a sense of justice. That's really what's needed, and a sense of being ultimately a sense of justice. Now, that is the key thing. So let me see if there's anything else before we open up the lines here. There was one other point, and maybe I'll bring that up a little later. Okay, yeah, this is what it is. Yeah, there are two things, a sense of honor and a sense of justice. If you think that you have or could start to develop a sense of honor and a sense of justice, it's all about logic and following your heart, then you are qualified. Oh, there is one other thing I think that should be important, the realization that our government has been seized and taken over by the enemies of liberty. And we need to weed these people out and do something about it. We either make them behave or we get rid of them. And there are numerous ways to do this. One of the first orders of business, I think, would be done is to go up to this New York State Board of Election and to get a hold of the two commissioners up there, bring them before onto the carpet by a collection by all of the all of the grand juries in the county, like I said, one from each one, so it'll be 62 people. We'll go up to Albany, we'll sit up there, and we'll pull them on the carpet. And we're going to inquire on why they are not obeying the law. Why have they expunged the elected committeemen? And we're going to expect that they're either going to correct this, or we'll do what we have to do to indict those people, and we will force that correction upon them. So they can replace them, and then we'll pull those two people out on the carpet. And we'll do the same thing. If they don't fix it, we'll put them into indictment, and they'll go get two more, and so on. And we'll keep doing this until we arrest all of Albany, if that's what we have to do. But we have to get the elected committeemen back in power. And once we do that, then we're working from two different sides. We're working from the political side and working from the judicial side. And we will also enforce and push a common law court to be back into the Supreme Court. Trial level is out of control. And they rule on statutory law and not constitutional law. And they are not telling the people that they are defrauding them. And we have to stop that. The grand jury can do that. So anyway, I think everyone should see by now how important this is, how powerful this is, and how we have to get moving on this right now. Every single person in this room needs to start organizing and working with others in their county to organize, to get 25 people. Start with a core of four people who are really going to work hard on this in their counties and pull together 25 people. And let's start building an organization within your counties. Let's get together from county to county and work together on a state level, and let's take back this country. I'm proposing we do this in the next 30 days. We're ready, and we're working with some other people trying to organize. We will get it organized one way or another, where we want to go to four different locations to give a very special seminar on this system, on the details, the specifics, and really get involved. We're thinking of locations like maybe we'll do Monroe County, maybe we'll do Broome County, Warren County, Ulster County, that's four, and maybe we'll do one more, which we'll do it down. Well, instead of Ulster County, maybe we'll just move it down to Westchester County. Keep it at four. That gives us 4 weeks, four weekends. We can give a special seminar on the system. We can spend 4 to 6 to 8 hours, whatever's required, go through the specifics. We can write everything up in details. We can work together here in this room here, discussing different things and different situations and problems come up, how we're going to deal with this and how we're going to deal with that. Remember, we're free. We can make it up ourselves. We just think about it and put the logical solution down, and that's it. Okay, with that, I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the mics. Gerard, I'm going to open up. Well, I'm not going to open up all the mics because there's too many people and the sounds come through. So let me open up Gerard. Let me see. I think I did it. Oh, let me try it again. Okay, so I'm going to leave yours open, Gerard. You can work with me on this. And if you can let me know whatever's going on in the text chat, or if you want to take the mic when someone asks something in the text chat, you can respond to that. You can then also maybe direct me if I'm not paying attention to whoever's in line. I see someone from New York, number one, is up there, so I'm going to open that mic up. So before that person speaks, Gerard, you got anything to say?
You had two people from New York with their hands up for a long time.
Right.
And so you got to get them. They're two in a row there.
I just opened one up. The first one is opened up.
Right. And some of the other stuff I was going to say you kind of hit on. I'm going to just be quiet now and let the people, you know, whoever's here ask questions. There's an awful lot of stuff we can go through. People got to get on the site and pull that paper and start reading because it's very interesting and very captivating. So you'll learn as you read, you know.
By the way, anybody from out of state, and I do know we get people in here from other states, you guys can do this right now, too. You can start organizing a grand jury in your county. You can try to start organizing your states, working with the Tea Parties and the Tea Groups. You can direct them over to our site for information because it's the same thing. Send them to our jury page, cut and paste the whole thing. They can just use it, whatever they want, because all the they can call me and I'll help them. We'll talk. But anyway, whoever it is from New York, go right ahead. We just opened up your line there. There's two people with their hands up from New York. I'll open them both up. One of them should be able to pick up the mic, you know, talk over your phone.
This is Chris. I think I was one of those New York guys.
How you doing, Chris? Yep, you're open. Go right ahead.
Hey, I had two questions, and you may have already answered them. Let me just make sure. So these rules that you just started walking through, rules for how the grand jury is constituted and the election procedure and quorum and all that stuff, so where did these come from? Is that like a proposed set of rules that you and some other folks drew up?
Well, some of it may be. Generally speaking, most of this is not. This is kind of standard. It comes from the Magna Carta. It comes from this Supreme Court ruling. It comes from history. We have a law, hang on a second. Let me quickly look through. If you go up and read the papers, okay, that we have up there, you will find out that we have a lot of authorities, okay? You'll find some footnotes. They're actually endnotes. So, you know, you'll see some numbers in a few places, and at the end of this thing, you'll see those endnotes. The biggest thing is we have the Supreme Court rulings. A lot of it is built and developed from that. Then we have law notes. That was what I was looking for, which really focuses in on the Magna Carta. Okay? And then the rest of it is logic. Common law is logic. What is the logical thing? And I'll tell you, what is going to lead us as a people to get the right thing going, really, is if we as a people, and we need to talk about this as often as possible, because the more we talk about it, the more we'll remind ourselves of it, and more we will fulfill the words of what we're saying. We all need to develop a sense of justice and honor. And if we come into this thing with a sense of justice and honor, then we will be thinking under those fashions. And therefore, we'll use logic to do the just thing and the honorable thing. You know, sometimes someone may be guilty of something, but it requires mercy instead of punishment. The grand jury has the ability to give mercy as much as it does to give judgment in the sense of sending them into the court by indicting them. So we have to develop that sense of honor and justice. And there's nothing more to it. Honor, justice, and following the heart. Go ahead.
Am I still unmuted?
No, yeah, you are. Yeah.
I want to give Chris kind of an idea of where we're coming from. You know, as far this comes from common law, and one of the first things the article.
I'm going to walk
says
away for about 60 yeah. seconds, so keep going.
Yeah, it says that that there are no rules defining a procedure for how they are elected. The people, without the influence of government, decide for themselves how the grand jury members are elected. Now, out of tradition and out of law, there must be 25 members. Now. Where that kind of stuff comes from is if you got to read the grand jury background to fully understand it, and it is in the paperwork, and it's called grand jury background. And I'm going to just read you one of the paragraphs because it kind of explains. It says when the colony separated from England, King John retaliated by revoking the charters. Technically, the colonies were without any legal authority to operate. However, civics, the branch of political philosophy concerned with individual rights, was generally taught and known by the people who asserted their rights and maintained order by applying the common law. The people united in the form of common law grand juries and continued the functioning of government. So they continued the functioning even though they lost their charters. As legislators matured, they slowly increased governmental power. Well, simultaneously, let's see, where are we here? I'm going to drop my thing. Hang on a minute. So anyway, the power was usurped simultaneously through graduality. But you see, the people developed this through common law, and that's where it developed, and it's through tradition, and then we have this Supreme Court case by Scalia that asserts all this in 1992 or 97. It's recent. As far as I'm concerned, that's recent law. You know, we're not quoting something that wasn't asserted from 1870 or something like that. So I just wanted you to understand that, you know. The grand jury, it was from way back then, and it was reasserted in this case that came in front of the federal Supreme Court. And that's what we're quoting from. And the procedures that we have outlined here are the procedures that are generally used or were used, you know, until it fell out of practice.
Right.
But obviously, our fellows up in the federal court and in the appellate court, they understand that this thing exist and that it's like the fourth branch of government, you know, that there's a hands off and that it emanates from the Bill of Rights, not the Constitution. Very, very powerful stuff. All right, I'm going to shut up now and let other people talk.
Know, by the way, anybody wants to talk, just press that. What is it? Star 8, and your hand will go up, and we'll unmute you. Two people from New York, they're still unmuted if they want to talk. Reiterate a little bit of what Gerard said. I heard him saying when I was walking away, pretty much you get to decide on your own, and that's the facts. We're going to put together a plan and an idea, and when you people come together as 25, you all decide your own way what you want to do. There is no specific way. We should try to do everything open in the public, especially in the way of electing the grand jury. We also want to give the people, the general public, the opportunity to come in and hear and put a vote. You know, we have to do it openly. And the grand jury needs to put a report out. We're going to talk about that at some point. We're going to develop some kind of a plan, a place where the grand jury can make a report on their county once a month on the cases they've heard, what's going on, whatever they want to tell the people. But people need to be educated. They need to understand what this is. And you know, judges, they got some judges that they seem to think, well, you know, the older cases are passe and the newer cases is what counts. You know what? I think differently. I think the older cases, they're more fermented like a fine wine. They are much better decisions. We had a much clearer mind. And all of these older cases are so powerful and focused on liberty. That's just an excuse they use. But Scalia and the rest of the judges, there were six out of nine that voted, on board with this. And when you listen to the quotes of the cases, they do quote a lot of the old cases. They even quote the Magna Carta, or they use the things out of the Magna Carta. And they've made some statements that are just stunning. You know, people have to really realize and understand what this means. This is unbelievable. This is true power. You want something to do? This is it. You want to take back the country? This is it. This is what we have to do now. We have to organize the state. We have to bring the power back to the people. We're going to start it off with the grand jury. We're going to bring back the elected committeemen. We're going to take back the courts to a common law procedure and a court system, and we're going to pull all these judges that are in bad behavior onto the carpet, and if they don't behave and wise up, we're going to pull them out and we're going to get rid of them. We can pull the governor of the state of New York, and we can call him in and put him on the carpet. That's how powerful this is. We can call every single one of the elected individuals up in Albany, and we can put them on the carpet. We'll go down and we'll give them a little talk. All 69 counties. Each one of us will get one person. We'll have 62 grand jurors, one from every county, and we will go down and we will read the Riot Act to the senators of New York, senators, and we will read the Riot Act to the assembly, 150 assemblymen.
So, hey, John.
Hello?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Hi, am I one of the New Yorkers on?
You're one of the New Yorkers
okay,
on.
Okay,
right.
Irene.
What's your first name?
Irene.
Okay, Irene.
Okay, my question is, I understand how you're setting all of this up to, you know, go through the towns and everything. Now, my question is this, you mentioned we'll use the Board of Elections, the two people that are on the Board of Elections as an example. Okay, now you subpoena them? They're subpoenaed to come to your courtroom, wherever
it's
set up?
We send a subpoena out for them to come, that we want to talk with them.
Okay.
And
now,
if they don't obey, then we go down to the court, and we have the court do the subpoena with enforcement, which means the sheriff will serve them, and if they don't show up the second time, the sheriff will come down with some bracelets for them to bring them to us.
Okay. So say they do show up. Now, I mean...
Oh, they will.
Okay. Now, what do you do? I mean, most of us are not lawyers, so...
Right.
I mean...
Well, the worst thing in the world is for a lawyer. As a matter of fact, mm-hmm. I will propose... Well, I think we have a duty to propose and do this. Anybody that belongs to the Bar Association tries to become a grand jurist, they're going to have to leave the
okay.
Bar Association. We don't want any lawyers that are minions for the New World Order.
Okay,
but,
so basically what you're saying, that we really don't need to have any legal knowledge as far as
not.
Laws.
Not at all. Your requirement is this. This is your requirement, and this isn't the only requirement, and you don't even have to buy. You can make your own requirement up, but this is what I believe. Everything I know, everything I've studied, what we're doing, what we're putting together has led me to this in a nutshell, and what a requirement is to do something like this. You have to be an individual who understands that we have a government out of control, and that's why you want to do this. And most of us is in that position. Okay, we have a government out of control. We want to fix it. We want our liberty back. We want our children to be born free and live free. Okay? So I think that is an important one, but again, it's not necessary. We can't enforce that. Anybody who wants to be a people, come on. But ultimately, we have to have a sense of justice and a sense of honor. And that's what we have to work on ourselves. We have to go to our prayer closets and talk to our God and work towards a sense of justice and honor. So when we get up there and we start talking to people, we have to have compassion, we have to have justice, and we have to have a sense of honor, and we have to look at this logically and pray about it, talk about it, and make a decision to the best we can. That's all that is necessary to do this job. There is nothing more. Anything more will hurt what we're doing.
Okay, I understand that. Now, what is whoever you bring before you, basically, what is their recourse?
What do you mean, what is their recourse?
There's no recourse for them at all. We're bringing them in front of us to question them on a fact.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot make a motion to dismiss the grand jury's findings, because the grand jury, their job is to indict. And the person, whoever gets indicted, they get to defend themselves once the prosecutor brings a case against them, you see?
Mm-hmm.
The grand jury is just looking to see that there's enough evidence there to that a criminal act was formed, and that there's enough evidence to produce an indictment for the charge of the criminal act. Now, they can't dispute what the grand jury finds. That's up to the court to do. Now, there is a suggestion in there. Now, listen, if you pull in a government official, you can do this even with four grand jurors. You can go around and you can say, listen, we got some questions, and you can question them, and you could do a preliminary thing. You can even do it in secret. The government cannot tell you how to do this. So you don't even have to tell them what the charges that you're investigating.
You don't even have to identify the people.
You don't even have to identify. And it doesn't even mean that something was broken. The grand jury can do it just to make sure that the law was not being broken. So it's an inquiry. It's an official inquiry. And what happens is the grand jury, if you take four members that go into the attorney general. We don't like the way he's doing stuff, and so we pull the attorney general in. These four jurors. You don't have to have 25 jurors present. The four jurors can present to him, and they can say, "Listen, are you doing this? Are you doing that?" And he's going to answer these questions, and they'll say, "Well, this looks like a constitutional problem. We're going to give you so many days to remedy that. And if you don't remedy it, then we're going to bring back to the full grand jury these facts, and we're going to indict you." So you see, just the threat of indictment is really where our power is, because they won't want to be indicted because they're going to have to answer questions in public, in a public court now, for what they're doing. And a lot of what they're doing is illegal. And when you look at it in the light of the Constitution and in the common law, 97% of what they're doing is illegal. And when you ask them questions and pull them on the carpet, they're not used to answering those questions in public. As a matter of fact, that is one of the reasons I believe that the Board of Election defaulted on our answer, because they would have had to go through discovery, and the questions that we could have asked them in discovery would have embarrassed them. Where's your county rules? Well, they're not existence. Well, that means the party doesn't exist in that county, you see? So the lawyer for the Board of Election knew where all the skeletons were. She wasn't even willing to ask those questions in discovery. Well, a grand jury is much more powerful than me pulling you into court under discovery, because now we're investigating a criminal act, you see? So we'll be able to straighten a lot of stuff out just by asking the right questions and telling them, this doesn't look good, you better fix it, you see? And that's kind of what your committee men are supposed to be doing. The committee men are supposed to be pulling our public officials.
Well, that's the other side of this thing, yes. Work together with the committee men.
Exactly, because they respect the party, because they know that if the party doesn't endorse them and carry their petitions, they won't be in office the next term around, you know? Usually when the party speaks, the politicians jump, ask how high, and all that stuff, because they know that their political life depends on the party, so they won't play with the party. Well, the grand jury is even above the party, because it's the people. Now, the party's supposed to represent the people. It's gotten away from that, you know what I mean? So the grand jury is going to bring the people back into the equation. Now, you don't need any specific legal mind to do this, because, listen, common law is simple and it's logical. Our common law comes out of the Magna Carta, which our Declaration of Independence was drawn out of. If you read the Magna Carta and then you read the Declaration of Independence, you understand that our forefathers were students of the Magna Carta. So basically, the rights that we have don't come from government. They come from natural law, which is the God of nature and nature's God. And that's what they don't like, because nobody can usurp them. So it's very, very simple. If you know what the Ten Commandments are, we used to have the Ten Commandments over the hallway of the Supreme Court. They took them down. That's when our problem started. Because all of a sudden, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. What is the meaning of is? You know what I mean? This murder thing. Oh, well, maybe we can murder at this many months and not that many months and all this other crap. It's all about when they suck you into a dialogue and then they say, well, let's talk about this. And pretty soon, before you know it, you're into all the stuff. So that's how they did it. But you don't need a great legal mind to understand when somebody's doing something wrong. You ask a couple of questions, and you're going to know in your heart that that's not right. And chances are it's unconstitutional, because our Constitution is based on natural law. And the Constitution was written to put the chain on and the collar on the government. You know, we're not under the Constitution. We're outside of the Constitution. The Constitution was written to define the powers that that men institute governments for, which is to protect our rights. That's their only function is to protect our rights, and that's to protect the weak from somebody who's strong, that violating those rights that come from that power that no man can usurp, that come from God. Okay? And that's why they rail so heavily against this, because they don't want us to believe that we get our rights from some power that they have no control over. They want us to believe that we get our rights from them.
Yeah.
And so now the servants have become the masters. Everything is backwards. You know, there are employees. That's what they are. And I know some of these judges get upset. If you go in there and you tell them that they're a public servant, they get highly indignant. Well, guess what? They are a public servant.
Yeah.
And they need to figure that out.
And I just unchecked Ken. Poor Clyde down there, he's had his hand up, so I just unchecked him if he wants to bring anything up. Anybody else who wants to talk, just you know, put in star 8 and your hand will go up and we'll get to you.
It just dawned on me. We get the original 13th Amendment back.
That's right. We could.
And that,
you know, all we have to do is do research and lay out the proof. And that's already been done. What is that book? Well, there's a book done by Benson. I think he covers that too, doesn't he? He does The Law That Never Was, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, that's the 16th Amendment.
Yeah, but I think he does cover the 13th too in there.
Does he? I don't know.
Yeah. Anything else, Ken?
No, I went over to Owego and talked to the Legion, but he's the commander is sick, but he's going to be there next Friday, so I'll go back to him. And
uh-huh.
But it's smaller than I thought it was.
Yeah. For everyone else to know, Ken came up with the idea that we should approach our legions, our local legions, and get some people from there, because they would be interested, I'm sure, in working with us and becoming maybe a jurist for a grand jury. And by the way, you know, we do have about 150 elected committee men in the state of New York, both Democrats and Republicans. And for those who didn't know that, we already had a New York-wide state meeting in Kingston, New York, on June 2nd of 2012. We rewrote the party rules, are already in place. We also wrote a resolution, already in place. We have no power yet because they don't recognize us, but once the grand jury takes power, that's one of the first order of business, is get power back to the committeemen so they could start working on the problems from the political perspective. And they will be able to solve a lot of things and, if necessary, bring to us also maybe some cases that need to be looked at by the grand jury. And by the way, because the grand jurist is not an elected position in the sense of a political, it is not an elected political position. Therefore, if you're on the grand jury, you can also become a committeeman. And remember, both of those situations are unpaid. And so, you know, it involves about probably one day, one evening a month. In the case of the grand jury, it may involve a little more, but we'll have to work that out. And hopefully, please, don't anybody not come in because they think they can't fulfill the time. Work it out and fulfill the time. Let's do what we have to do. If we have to, we'll meet on Saturdays. If we have to, instead of doing a whole day, we'll do three evenings a month or something, or two evenings a month, in order to accommodate the people who just can't take off from work. We'll have to just work this out as a committee, you know, as a people.
Think of it as raising your kids.
Exactly. All right, lucky lady, let me unmute.
Is Sandy here?
I'm trying to unmute. Hold on a minute. Who?
Is Sandy here?
I don't know. If Sandy's here, they can raise their hand. Okay, lucky lady, you're unmuted. I see Cobuzz will unmute you shortly.
I was just wondering if you could, put something on the homepage in the square there, something real simple for when brand new people that are that know absolutely nothing, something like restore liberty using the law, or just a really short few couple sentences in the little box there that tells you what you're doing for when a brand new person looks at it. Because people, you know, are so used to 30-second commercials and such, they're going to just leave it. They're not going to read all this anything.
Right.
They're going to...
Well,
okay.
You know, it is difficult. I try to put on, because there's a lot on the front page, so I'll put this is new, and then you'll have to click that to go to another page to read about it. You know, there's quite a bit of information before you actually get to the nuts and bolts of the first page, and because we want to keep the new news on. I'll see what I could do to try to figure that out to make it a little easier.
Suggestion, yeah. Something that could catch a person, yeah.
The
okay.
key thing is this, is word of mouth. You know, once people start to get around the site and they see it's really set up very logical and it's reasonably easy to get around, then they can, when they send other people, they can send them to specific places. I know when I send out an email or something to people, I send them directly to very specific places. But just to go through that very quickly, our web page is set up quite simply. We have the welcome page. It's on the left side. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 10 links. Okay, so we have the welcome page. The next is we have Monday night conference call. So you click on that and you open up that page. The main links on the left side will always be there, no matter where you go on the site, so you can navigate back very easily. If you click on our lawsuit page, then you'll get a list on that page of all the lawsuits. So we have right now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different links set up right now, and we'll be adding more shortly. We have the committee man process page, which has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 10 links on that. On the committee man process, it teaches people how to fill out a designating petition to become a committee man. We have video instructions, we have written instructions, and we teach people about how to do the process. And also we give presentations for anybody who might want one. We'll come out free of charge to give a presentation to your group. And the next page we have is the judicial process. And on that, we have common law, court access. And court access is totally free. It's a complete course on how to access the court. We teach people the basics, how to fill out, you know, how the paperwork works and what you need to do to get into a court. And if you read our cases combined with this, you'll get it. It's not really that difficult. We have a common law process, a common law course here. I don't know how many, 50, 60 hours of audio. We have the Constitution's history. There's a lot of stuff here. You go through all of these buttons, a tremendous amount of stuff. Then we have the calendar. The calendar is the presentation calendar, what we're doing, where we're going, where we're going to be. The next one is today's issues. That's a very important page. A lot of videos. This is video heavy, lots of videos. And we have a lot of information on the Sheriff, America's Last Hope. And then we have the Continental Congress 2009. We have links to other sites. We have a site contact, which gives all my information, my phone number, my fax number, my email. Everything's there. And then we have our county contacts. And then we have our mission statements. And by the way, on the county contacts, anybody who is interested in organizing their county, please send me an email and tell, just, I need your name, your phone number, and your email address and your county. And just say, I want to be a county, I want to help organize my county. Send that information to me. I will post that information up on our county page, and we will work with you to organize your county. We also have instructions on the bottom of that page on different ways and different things you could do. You organize however you want to organize, just like every county jury, grand jury, is going to organize and do what they want to do. We'll give you suggestions. We'll give you sort of a roadmap on how to do it. And if you want to reinvent that roadmap and do it, that's up to those people. We're free people. Think free. Exercise that thinking by action, and then you will truly be free. Next is, do you have anything else, Lucky Lady?
No, that was it. Thank you.
All right. If you want to talk again, just raise your hand. Two people from New York. Anybody, anything else? If not, I'm on a red dot. If you want to talk again, you just raise your hand again. All right. Next is Cobuz. I believe that's how to pronounce it. How you doing?
Hello, group. My real name is Corey.
How you doing, Corey? Yeah, we've been talking a little bit. How you doing, Corey?
Yeah, good, good. We've been talking via email, and I've been on New York Committeeman for probably a year or so, just really educating myself and talk about eye-opening. I'm excited by everything here and looking forward to what may come. But anyway, I'm up here in Livingston County, and as far as I know, nobody here is doing this or pursuing anything like this. But this was all spurred a few years back when I started having some code enforcement issues in my village. You kind of know the story, my backstory via email. But anyway, I got some points I want to highlight here. Kind of one of the things ringing around in my mind is how are we going to get the courts to recognize the grand jury authority?
No problem. We walk in. We open up our doors for business. We go through the process we set, and then we're not looking. We have discovered that the trial courts in the state of New York are dead. They're intellectually dead. They're judicially dead. They have no concern, no desire, or anything to do the just thing. We knew that when we first filed our first case. It's been an uphill battle. We made our way up into the appellate court, and we discovered that they may not be any better than the trial court. Okay, these people are a problem. They never even read our case. It's so clear. We're going up before the appellate court, by the way, on May 21st, and it's going to be a joke, a real joke. They have us coming up on what's called a petition for a writ of mandamus. And the fact that we're going before this court to talk to them about this is so insane, it's pathetic. It means that they have no clue on what we're doing, and they should know the law. These people claim to be judges. They claim they're saying they're doing the just thing, and they don't understand the basic principles of law. They don't know what an extraordinary writ is. They don't recognize a habeas corpus. They don't recognize a writ of mandamus. And there's a third one, centuri. I'm not sure how to pronounce that one. I've never used that one, and I'm not sure exactly what that one is. But
Certiorari.
So there are three extraordinary writs, and they don't even know what that means. Their clerks don't know what it means. They're totally the Attorney General of the state of New York has no clue on what it means. Okay, so we're going to go up there on the 21st, and we're going to try to be as respectful as possible because I don't want to go to jail. But we're going to end up embarrassing them. If they can even realize that we're embarrassing them, because we should not be there. What a petition for a writ of mandamus is a very simple piece of paper. It's not to get involved in the case, the details of the case. We have the Attorney General for the state of New York answering our case as if we are going up back and appealing the case. And we even told them that's not what we're doing. And they still write their papers that way. And the court is responding as if that is. But the purpose of a petition for a writ of mandamus is just going to the upper courts under a state of emergency, which should take anywhere from 24 hours to 10 days, depending on how important it is. It goes before all other cases on the calendar, unless the case on the calendar is an emergency in itself. Other than that, it bypasses them all. It gets you up there quick. Okay, there's no reason to show up for it. You're just saying, hey, there's a law being broken, a rule being broken. Here it is. Give them the details, a little bit of information, send it up to the court. They look at it. They say, you're right. And then they order the court, the people, the officer, or whatever it is, to obey the law. That's what a writ of mandamus is. Okay, and these people don't have a clue. We've been 7 months. I've called up, complained, talked, wrote letters, did everything, almost stood on my head on their front door. And they still don't respond. They have no clue what a writ of mandamus is. So we're 7-8 months now into the system. We'll be up there on May 21st, and we're going to show them the morons that they are, all of them, including probably the appellate court. Now, there's the Court of Appeals, and those are the guys that really are supposed to fix these things and make things harmonized. But we're going to find out if that's true. But we do know one thing. You know, in this process with this court, with this common law jury, grand jury, we're not going to the state if we have a problem. We're going right to the feds. And now they have a procedure for the writ of mandamus. They understand it, and they do set you in under an emergency state within 24 hours to 10 days, okay? And they hear your case right away, and they will rule on the law. We have case law, and the case law we have is a U.S. Supreme Court decision by not just the appellate or the appeals on the federal level. We're talking on the highest court of the land. The nine people in Washington, and Scalia and five others wrote this decision. And we're just going to quote them, and there's no way in the world that these people are not going to give us the command from the federal court to this individual. We get a clerk in the way, we've got certain laws that we're going to apply upon them. We'll threaten them with the fact that we're going to go for a writ of mandamus, but there's also the requirement, there's a U.S. code that requires the clerk to do their duties, and if they don't do their duties, they can go to jail for 1 year. We will let it be known to them, number one, that if they don't do their duties, this is what's going to happen. They will obey. We have the power of the court and the sheriff, and I'm talking about the highest Supreme Court and the sheriff. We've got that power. We will apply it. So, and we have to do everything on the up and up and be real about it. So that's where we're at.
Listen, if you go to the site and you read U.S. versus Williams, right?
By the way, I see another person in New York with their hand up. As soon as you're done, I'll be unmuting them. Just want to let them know. Go ahead, Scott.
What I was going to say is in that U.S. versus Williams case. There is all the Supreme Court rulings that says what reestablishes how the grand jury operates. You know, and these are, some of them are from 1959 and some of them from 1972. And basically it says that, you know, if the grand jury is going to indict somebody and the court, you ask, well, how do you get the courts to cooperate? The only way the court cannot cooperate is if the court can prove that by your indictment you're violating somebody's constitutional rights. They'd have to specifically answer your indictment and say, we're not going to help you because basically you're violating somebody's constitutional rights. They're not going to be able to do that as long as we're not being silly, you know what I mean? So that's their only recourse. And the other thing is with the grand jury is not under the specific constraints of the Constitution as far as, like, people's rights, because the grand jury is just a accusatory body, not a judiciary body. So let's say one grand jury comes in and they don't indict, and then somebody reconvenes another one on the same matter, the same crime, and they indict. Well, there's no double jeopardy Fifth Amendment right for the grand jury, because you can indict and you can indict again and again. As long as the grand jury indicts, then the court has to look into it. The person that's being accused, he doesn't have a double jeopardy because it's not adjudicated. You see, double jeopardy and all those other constitutional rights for the person come into the after the indictment. In other words, when you're pursuing the lawsuit, the case, the criminal act, then the person's full constitutional rights are in effect. Now, the only other way is if the court would say, well, you are going after this thing that's a constitutional right, and so your whole thing is off basis, and they refuse to help you. But they have to prove that. They have to take the specific thing you're saying, and they have to show how it goes against the Constitution. And these guys up here, they don't even know the Constitution. I can't imagine them even coming against anything we say, because they're completely they're like idiots when it comes to the Constitution. You know, they're more along the lines of Clinton, like, what is the meaning of is? They think that if enough people want it, you can do it, and that the Constitution can be debated away, and it absolutely cannot, you know.
Right. You know, I just want to bring this one item up here. We've been bringing it up lately because we have to do it. We have to organize, okay? So, again, you know, anybody who can bring some new people into this program here, lead them out to this week's, episode. This is episode 24. We're going to label the name of this episode Grand Jury, and we'll give a little bit of a detail on what it's about. So if you want to lead them into what we're doing, lead them to this one, and they can hear the presentation and see what we're talking about. But we do, and then, of course, you know, we, like I said, we'll be traveling the state. We're going, we'll be in Warren County this coming Saturday for anybody who wants to visit us. Hamilton, Fulton, Saratoga, Washington, Essex, all of those counties are around Warren County. You know, Albany and Rensselaer isn't too far either. Maybe even Oswego, Montgomery can come there, Fulton. So anyway, you know, come up and visit us at that presentation. We're going to be talking about this up there. We'll be talking about a few other things also. We're going to talk about common law. We're going to be talking about the committee man, the process, and the expungement of the committee man, and so on. And we're going to be organizing. So please, anybody who wants to start organizing their county, don't think you got to do it all by yourself. You don't have to. You get partners, too. That's why we're looking for a core of four. Four people and more. If you want to be a core of 10, who cares? Let's get organizing. Work together. Let's get your county organized. Let's find 25 people willing to become grand jurists, and let's go through the process. Do we have to do? Let's get back into the committee man, run your petitions. Your same qualifications for a committee man, you know. All you need is a sense of honor. You need a sense of justice. You need to follow your heart. Go into your prayer closets and work it out, and let's do the right thing. It's the same thing there. We're not getting into politics because I don't bother arguing politics. I'm working with the Democrats, and the Democrats are working with the Republicans. And it's not the, you know, these people are that are in our system that are Democrats. They're interested in the Constitution, too. There's a lot of them out there. They're just silent. We'll find them. They will come up, and they will take the control of their party back. We have enough in both parties right now to take both of them back. It doesn't matter. We're going to do it once the grand jury goes forward, or the court finally rules on our favor, or whichever comes first. But again, I want to establish grand juries, start the process within 30 days in every county of the state. So we need people to act now. You know, by the way, we also need funding. So anybody that can help us, you know, $5, $20, $100, you know, most people can only afford 20 bucks, and I appreciate that. It's hard times. If everybody that gets involved can throw 20 bucks occasionally to us, or even 5 bucks occasionally, it can pay the light bills. It can pay for the thing. Every time we file a court case, it's a minimum off the bat immediately $1,000. And so we need help with that. So whoever can send some money, just go out to our website. But the most important thing is volunteering to organize your county and start organizing. We'll give you lots of leads, lots of information. We've got other people who will be leading people to your county, you know, kind of stirring up the pot and saying, hey, here's the leader over here. Go talk to these people. Organize the presentations, and we'll come up there, and we'll come up as often as you want. But we have to do this now. We have to get the election of the grand juries going this within the next 30 days everywhere. So let's do it. It's time to get up and get up to bat. Okay, there was someone from New York down there that had their hand up. I don't see it up anymore. By the way, Cobuzz, you're still unmuted if you want to talk.
Yeah, I did have another question.
Yeah.
Cross county lines and things like that, and what if you have competing grand juries in the same county? Obviously, I've got a lot of reading to do. I've got these documents pulled up, but
there's one grand jury per county. I would imagine in a large city, we'd have to work things out. New York City is huge, so, you know, I don't know how that would work down there. You know, they work the election districts by assembly districts down there, and so maybe we'd work the assembly district lines. And so you would have maybe in a particular county down there, I don't know, maybe you got 10 assembly districts in one county, and so there would have to be 10 grand juries maybe, I don't know. Because of the population, but
well,
that would work out.
The whole idea of competing grand juries is sort of an oxymoron.
Oh, he's speaking of the ones that are there now.
He's talking competing. Suppose there's 25 that got set up in this county, and then 25 other people on the other end of the county. So now we have 50 grand jurors.
Yeah, I doubt that.
People, it doesn't matter if you had. two grand juries set up in your county, and they have to be people. They can't be citizens of the United States. They have to be people of the United States because they have to maintain their rights under the Constitution, not under the 14th Amendment, which kind of makes us slaves that we have to do what the government says. But we won't get into that now. The fact of the matter is the grand jury is an accusatory arm. In other words, they don't adjudicate anything. So if you had two grand juries, the only thing that they can do is indict. And in order for them to indict, there's very little bit the only prerequisite for an indictment is that indictment doesn't violate any of the people's constitutional rights. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, if one grand – and it even says here, it says the grand jury – no doubt in view of the grand jury proceeding status other than a constitutional element of a criminal prosecution. Wait a minute. We have the double jeopardy clause of the Fifth Amendment does not bar a grand jury from returning an indictment when a prior grand jury has refused to do so. And so it says and they quote these cases. Some of them are from 1780 and then they say, well, it was reaffirmed in 1973. We have twice suggested that, though not held, that the Sixth Amendment right to counsel does not attach when an individual is summoned to appear before a grand jury, even if he's the subject of the investigation. So the grand jury comes in and asks questions, and you know the grand jury can't violate somebody's Fifth Amendment right not to incriminate themselves. In other words, the guy can still plead the Fifth and say, well, I'm not answering on the grounds that can incriminate me. Of course, then the grand jury knows that they got to do some more investigating because the guy's not answering because he doesn't want to incriminate himself. Obviously, there's something that's incriminating there, right? So that throws light onto the investigation. But let's say that grand jury decides to give up. It doesn't mean that another grand jury can't pick up that case and continue to ask those questions or ask different questions. But they don't really compete against each other because
likelihood, though, that there'd be two grand juries in a county is pretty slim. I mean, right now there's none anywhere.
Right. And, it would be very slim.
And
what are they going to do? All you can do is indict. So what are you
going to do? Right, and they still would be doing the job of a grand jury, so who cares? But the bottom line is you would think that those people there would come to the existing grand jury and talk with them. Look, here's what I think. I think everyone should join the grand jury for a two-year stretch. Everyone, okay? And after 2 years, you should get out if you can. Let someone else take the torch, so to speak. We don't want to be there forever. We want the people to get involved and do the right thing. And we have to start off with integrity. We have to start off with a sense of justice. We have to start off with a sense of honor. We have to speak on those terms so that as we pass the torch to other people to take the process up, then they'll continue that language because that's what's going to keep us honest. We can't get lost back to the corruption that we have. We will write something, and every grand jury that comes in, maybe we'll write something short so the new grand juries will come in and we'll be able to read that and hopefully get inspired by the grand jurors before them on what this is all about, where we came from, and so on, give a little history or whatever. But we need to just do the right thing. If there's two grand juries, they are what they are. Remember one thing. This means, listen, this is important. You see, a grand jury requires 25 people. It requires them that 25 people come together, number one. The other thing is that these juries that are existing are paid by the government, okay? They're government-paid people. They are screened and selected by the government. They take the orders from the judge, who also is under political pressure to obey the government because of the Bar Association. The whole thing is set up to control people, and it's creating the New World Order, which is the problem. The whole thing is a fraud. It's a fraud, and we are going to expose that fraud little by little, but we're going to do it with integrity. We're going to do it with honor. We're going to do it with a sense of justice. And we're also going to do it with the idea of mercy if necessary. You know, we're not going to go out for revenge. We're not going out to hang everybody. We can't do that. If we come in with that attitude that we're going to go kick ass and we're going to do this, that, and the other thing, then we're losing the whole sense of what it is. We have to come in with honor. Okay?
Hey,
and as long as we stick with that, we'll be okay.
Here's something pretty interesting here as far as somebody wanted to know what you
have. Just one more thing while you're talking. Anybody else wants to talk, just raise your hand. Go right ahead. I see poor Clyde Well, go ahead, Rod.
Okay. Somebody was worried about how much you need to know and, you know, and follow procedures to do this grand jury thing. Here's a case that they're quoting in that Williams versus thing, and it was in 1956. It's the latest one I see here. And they came up with, this is the federal Supreme Court says, we decline to enforce the hearsay rule in grand jury proceedings, since that would run counter to the whole history of the grand jury institution, in which laymen conduct their inquiries unfettered by technical rules. So see, it's very informal. We get together and we say, listen, we don't want to ruin this guy, so we'll keep it in secret, and we'll find out if there really was a crime committed. So we don't even have to tell the guy who's coming in why we're asking the questions. You see what I'm saying? It's very informal, and the grand jury decides how much they let out or how much they do, and there is no technical rule. So it basically is people, and you're running on common sense, and you're looking to right or wrong, and it just seems to have very broad and vast broad brushstrokes here to hold the government and accountable to the people. I think that's the main thing, is that you're holding the government accountable to the people.
Absolutely, that's the whole purpose of the grand jury, is ultimately to keep the government in line, and then when people have a complaint, anybody can go to the grand jury and say, I got a problem. You know, I went down to this municipality. I went to this agency. And you know, this is what the IRS is doing to me. And this is happening there. And the grand jury will hear them. And we will deal with their problem. If there is an injustice there, we belong in the mix. That's where our business is. Wherever there is injustice, that's where you will find the grand jury. That's how we have to think. And, you know, another thing is this. As far as establishing the grand jury, if there is any place anybody has a problem in any county, you know, there is numerous, you know, there's a group of us. There's quite a few of us in various parts of the state that are working on cases and law. We're digging into all this. We'll start writing out papers of things, problems we know that will probably come up here or there, and we'll deal with them. But we will. I've already thought of some of these things, and I'm sure other people have too. But we will make the clerks obey and permit and allow. We will make the judges of every county. There's one elected judge in every county, okay? And you know what? One of the first order of the business, like I said, the very first order of business is to deal with the committee man process, get that back in order. Second and third order of business is for every grand jury to call down the trial judge who was elected in that county down on the carpet and have a little bit of a talk with him. We'll write some scenarios and some ideas up, and then people, you'll be creative and do your own thing. But the thing is this guy obeying the law? Is his court a common law court? Well, what's he doing here? So let's go sit in and listen to some of his cases. Let's look back at some of his cases. Let's look at some of the complaints about this judge. Is he a good judge, or is he under bad behavior? And if he's in bad behavior, we'll pull the carpet out from underneath him. We'll do the same.
If they're enforcing statutory law, how can any of them be operating with honor? I don't understand.
Well, that's the point. That's the point. But we are going
to. They're all bad.
You're absolutely right. They are all bad. But we're not going to go put 62 judges in jail. We're not going to go chase down like a witch hunt. We can't get lost. We have way too much work to do because every person in office is evil and bad, in my opinion. They're taking a bite off the apple, and they're getting lost in the game. Okay, and before you know it, they don't even know how far deep they are. Every clerk, I'm telling you, it is so bad out there. I walk into these places, I want to walk out to the back hall to throw up somewhere because it is so bad. And these people don't have a clue how nasty and ugly they are. But we're going to show them, okay? And once we put the mirror up to their face, when they're on that carpet, as long as they're recognizing and realizing and is willing to do the right thing, we'll give them that opportunity. Every grand jury is going to have to decide on their own. But if you're going to become a witch hunt, forget about it. This ain't not going to work. You know, we are so distorted as a people in America. It is that bad. In New Yorkers particularly, we are so distorted. There are so many problems. You know, we might as well just put them all in jail. But we can't. Let's just make them do the right thing, and that's fine. You know, if these people are really that evil and they need to be indicted, then the case will come up and the grand jury will deal with it. You know, every grand jury is going to have to figure that out for themselves. But realize, we're not on a witch hunt. We're here to bring back integrity. We're here to save the republic, to reinstate the people of the state of New York. That's what we're really here for now.
We can do the same thing that they do. Like, we know for a fact that there's some very evil judges out there. We know Judge Teresi is an evil judge. I'm going to use his name.
Yeah, he's got to go.
He's bad. Now, if the grand jury indicts him and he gets prosecuted and goes to jail or whatever and loses his lands and his houses or whatever else that they do to him, the next time four grand jurors come in and say, listen, we're going to convene the full grand jury here, Mr. Your Honor, because we think that there's some bad stuff going on in your court. We hear that you're not recognizing the court of record in your county. And that's a constitutional court that's above every court. And if you don't straighten that out, we're gonna bring it back to the full grand jury and we're gonna indict you. He's gonna know that you indicted Teresi and Teresi went to jail. What do you think that judge is gonna do when the people come in and say, I got a court of record over here? He's gonna go, now he's just a minstrel, and he's gonna sit back and he's gonna say, I recognize the court of record. Yes, I do. I do believe in the court of record. I do. You know?
So some of these people are criminals, and some of these people do have to be indicted, but we have to be careful we don't go crazy. I can assure you and promise you that as soon as the grand jury up in Albany County becomes a fixture up there, I'm heading up there to talk to them as a witness against Teresi and bring him before that grand jury. I won't be the decider of that. I won't be on that grand jury. I'm biased on this situation to some degree. I could act without bias, though. I could do that. I believe I can. But it's not for me to do it. This is an Albany County problem, so I'm going to bring it to Albany County grand jury, and I'm going to tell them what I know, and they'll do what they think they got to do with it. I'll live with whatever they decide. But if they could straighten them up and give them a break and they have a heart for the guy, that's your business. You do what you got to do. But if you decide the guy's a criminal, he's got to go, and you indict him, well, God bless you, too.
Listen, it's an example. It's an example. You set an example, and then everybody else will fall in line.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And if we could tell you that guy's evil.
No, he's evil. He's horrible evil. He's on the take by the decisions that he makes. You know, I had experience with him before we got involved with this. The man has no constraints whatsoever. You know what I mean? And it's probably even worse than I know. He's probably worse than what I even suspect. What I know of the things that I know, which were horribly criminal, he's probably worse than that, you know. But if he goes down through a grand jury indictment, you're not gonna have to go on a witch hunt, because they're all gonna stand up and their eyes are gonna get as big as saucers. And when you come in and say we're looking at you, they're gonna say, what do you want me to do? So this goes away. Well, do the right thing. Right? Grand jury doesn't
turn your lights out. Turn your lights out because you're making them blink, close their eyes.
Okay, you're on 4 o'clock.
Yeah. What I had an idea, and I just bring it out to put it in our minds. We need to sit down and think of schemes and what the process should be.
Don't use the word scheme, though.
Not well. The procedure. How about that?
Procedures. Yeah, that's good.
The procedure.
Absolutely.
To repatriate the people, because they have to be repatriated to get the jury correct.
Right. Well, you're going to be working on some papers. I talked with you about it. I'll be working on some papers. I'm sure others will be working on some papers. We'll talk to others, and we'll set these up where people can go and look at them. And they want to do something here, and they find the subject matter there, and this is how the process can go, and this is how this works. They can take these ideas, and they can use some of them. They can create their own as a jury, as a group. Remember, think free. This is a free thing. This is a thing of the people. You create it. You know, when we go into court, with a position and an attitude. And that position and the attitude is, to anybody we're in court with, particularly going up against the state and the judges there, and we let the state know, listen, if you want to know what the law is, all you have to do is one thing. Just ask me, and I will tell you. Because, you see, I am the ruler of my kingdom, and if they violated my kingdom, which is my unalienable rights, then I'm going to go after them, and then I will let set down the rules and the law, because that's what common law court is. The people rule the government and pull them on the carpet. Now, we've got to get that process back in, and I'm telling you, the grand jury is going to do this. This is the solution to all of our woes. This is the process by which we can take our power back, our government back, our republic back. So people need to get involved. They need to send me an email. They have to tell me, you know, that they're willing to try to work with others to organize the county. They need to give me their name, their county, their email address, and their phone number. We will post that. If we get two or three people from the same county, we'll post that. Join our meetup group. Just click the join button on the top of New York Committeeman.org. You'll be taken over to Meetup Liberty Alliance Meetup Group, and we'll connect there. You can look other people up in your county up there, because all you have to do is go to the membership area, and you'll see a search bar on that membership area with all the members, and just put in your county name, and everybody in your county will show up. And then you can send them an email, make a contact, say, hey, I'm in your county. I'm over here. We're doing this, you know, and let's connect and work things out. Organize. You know, we recently found Freedom. What's that name of that thing? Freedom Connector?
Freedom Connect.
Freedom Connector. And that's huge. There's New York has over 7,000 members. You can go in there, run your county, and it'll, you know, my county had like 300 people. How many was in your county, Gerard? 50 or 60 or something?
Yeah, like 56, which is strange because it was very close to the number of committee men.
Yeah, there you go. So you can go and you can click on all those names and ask to connect with those people. You can start communicating with them. You can form an organization with them, a group there. You can form the, you can get together with groups on Liberty Alliance, New York Liberty Alliance, as I told you on our join button on New York Committeemen. You can also have the Liberty groups within your county. You can look them up if you, maybe you're involved with them already. You can go to the Legion halls. You can go to the gun groups. You can talk with those people. You can really muster up a whole bunch of people to become grand jurists and also to become committeemen and to get involved. And the other thing we need to do, and this is most important, and every one of us should sign up for this, even the grand jurist, even though during the time you're serving you can't be part of that part of it, but you can sign up for it, so when you're off of it, you're on it, okay? And we'll just flag the grand jurist so they're not called as jury. We need to all sign up as regular jurists for a jury pool. And but our jury pool won't require you to show up. If there's a need for a jury and you're on the list, we give you a call and you're busy, well, okay, we'll cycle you back in and maybe we'll catch you next time and we'll go to the next person. We'll find the people who can come down and be on the jury. This way everybody can participate. So when you do have the time and you got the call, and then you step up to the plate and do the right thing. And let's give people a jury that is, again, that has honor and integrity, and operates from the heart, and does the right thing, and looks at the case, and judges both facts and law, and does it with a sense of justice and a sense of mercy. So, however that works, you figure that out yourself. That's what everybody should figure that out.
Well, what was that group's name?
Freedom Connector.
Freedom Connector. Yes.
Well, we'll send you an email with your, you know,
how we have. Look at, if everyone goes up to NewYorkCommitteeman.org, okay. You click on County Contacts, okay? Now, on the County Contacts, you come down a little bit, you'll start to see all the list of the county leaders. We want to fill that up, so give us your names. Let's get in here. Let's get going. Underneath that, we have a message and instruction for all county leaders. We talk about Freedom Connector right in here, how to connect to that. We got some other things and ideas you could do, how to build up the membership within your county. We have our mission statement stated up here. Here it is down towards the bottom. After creating a group and a Freedom Connector, what to do next, okay? So we will help you organize. We'll keep in contact with you. We'll communicate with you, and let's do what we got to do. Some people will get involved and join in our judicial process and start running cases in their county from the standpoint of suing the government, which needs to be sued constantly, it seems. So whatever it is, let's work together. Let's get busy. Let's save New York. We got 30 days to get to a process where we can start electing grand juries. Let's do it. Let's take back this country now. I don't think that there's a 2014 unless we do what has to be done in 2013. I believe that in my heart and in my soul that they got the plans to pull the plug by the end of this year. I believe that. So we need to work and move with haste. We need to do it now.
Now, I want to talk for a couple of minutes here.
Okay.
Well, I could. I'll stop for a minute if you want. What I want to talk about is how to educate yourself and why you need to, and how to go about that, because it's empowering. But what do you want to say? Is that Ken?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Ken. Go ahead, Ken.
I just thought of something. The John said that there isn't any pay. There isn't any pay for being a grand jury member.
Right.
But there is, because the repatriation of the people that are going to go into the grand juries reduces their income tax to zero.
That's
right.
Exactly. Everybody's income tax will be reduced in the state of New York when we get in power to zero.
Right.
Because they will have neither the Social Security or the income tax.
That's right.
That's a good point. So there is a payback there, a very big payback.
Take them both.
And the
also, we have a plan to move to silver,
so
we'll have real money and a real market. Go ahead.
What I wanted to say is the powers that be have everybody believing that what we go by are written laws, and there could be nothing further from the truth. In other words, when you go to court, they have statutes, and they look for the statutes, and they try to see what you violated. But really, this country was designed so that every man was like a king. It's called popular sovereignty. It's guaranteed by the Constitution. And they hate it. They hate it because it puts us above the government. So, you know, when John and I and a couple others started out on this path, the first thing that we did was we took a course from Michael Bagnarik, his 8-hour constitutional course. Now, I had read the Constitution in bits and pieces, and you know, in school they made us do some of it. When I was in school, they were still doing somewhat of the Constitution, and I sat down and read it, and some of it was nice, but a lot of it was boring. But I never had anybody explain it to me the way Bagnarik does. So just by that course, which is a very basic course that explains the Constitution, but what that course does is it brings it alive in your heart and your soul. Now, Michael Bagnarik knows the Constitution so well that he is able to drive around with an unregistered pistol and no plates on his car in his county, and they leave him alone. Because when they pull him over, he knows the chapter, the verse, the clause of the Constitution, and he tells them, I'm going to sue you under U.S. code, and blah, blah, blah. And everything he's saying is true, and he knows the material so well that knowledge converts into power, and they don't mess with him. See, when you truly learn what the Constitution means and how it was put down, all of a sudden, there's this Helen Keller moment. Remember when Helen Keller discovered that the water meant this sign, how everything fell into place where you go, whoa, whoa. That's what happens. You get this freedom download in your soul, and you just have the ability. You know what it means to be free. Now, the Ninth Amendment says that everything else is reserved to the people. I mean, we even had James Madison that was kind of railing against the Bill of Rights because he said, if you start enumerating your rights, you're going to lose them because they're going to hold you just to what you write down. I mean, the idea was correct, but the Bill of Rights, see, this whole grand jury thing emanated out of the Bill of Rights. If they didn't write that down, we wouldn't have had this separate branch, you know, from the other three branches. And so he wasn't completely right with that. And he did acquiesce because he knew that the Constitution would not have been ratified if they didn't do the Bill of Rights, because there were people there that were very, very insistent that certain ones of them being written down because they were abused just like we are. Listen, back then they had the Patriot Act just like we do. They were trying to prosecute people in this country, and the general went back to the king and he said, listen, I bring them to court. They know more law than I do. They get a jury of their peers and they acquit themselves. And the king said, well, he said, you know what? Pick them up at night, throw them on a ship, bring them back here, we'll prosecute them. So guess what? When you got Black Bag back in 1700, they put you on a ship. It took you 2 or 3 months to get there, and there was a lot of think time between here and there, you know? I mean, the only difference today is they put you on a jet and they take you to Guantanamo. But our forefathers knew all about Guantanamo. We think we're so advanced and that these guys had no idea what's going on. Listen, they lived this crap. You know what I mean? They lived gun confiscation. They lived it, and they put the remedies in the Constitution. And if you don't know that, you're going to feel like, I don't know, is it the law or isn't it the law? They're going to be distracting you with all this crap, this facade that they built up. You know, and people, they got us believing that the law is what they tell us it is, and it's not. It's not. The law, like John says, is what I say it is. My kingdom ends where yours begins. And as long as I'm not stepping on your law and you're not stepping on my law, we're two kings and kingdoms, and my property is my castle. And this is what they're trying to kill in this country, the fact that we're all free and we have popular sovereignty. So, you know.
Sovereignty,
excuse me. You know, Bob Schultz went to court and he sued for redress of grievances, and they don't answer him, or they say you have no standing, and he said, show me the law. There is no law that says I have to pay income tax. What he didn't understand was the IRS themselves understand the court of record, because when they bring you into tax court, guess what? They open up a court of record, and that court of record is really meant for the sovereigns, for the people. If you knew what you were doing, you could challenge their jurisdiction. You could say, listen, you can't be the sovereign. You're the government. But that's what they do. They open up a court of record, and you know what the law is? The law is when they make the charge willful failure to file, and they give that to you, and they give that to you on the complaint, guess what? They just told you what the law was. When I take somebody into court, the government or anybody, if you violate some of my rights and I make a complaint against you, I put down what you violated of my right. I say you trespassed on my property. You did this to me. You did that to me. I mean, I could say you wore pink shoes and I didn't like it. Now, you're entitled to a jury of your peers. So if I'm going to have you indicted and saying I'm going to give you the death penalty for wearing pink shoes in my house, you're going to have a jury of your peers. That's probably not going to fly, right? But the law is not written down. The law is when a sovereign person has a transgression and he brings the person into court and he puts on a show and he says, this is what this guy did to me. You know what I mean? And so that's the law. People don't understand that our forefathers, the Ninth Amendment says, whatever we didn't give to the state, the federal government and the state is reserved for the people. That's exactly what it means, you know? And it's very, very hard to get your mind around this. If number one, if you don't have a feeling for what the Constitution says and why we did it, you know, I mean, my brother really had a moment when I told him, I said, you know, it's all statutes. He said, even speed zones. I said, absolutely. I said, speed zones were meant for government officials, cops and firemen and other municipal workers, you know, to keep them in control. He said, what do you mean? He says, I can go out and speed. I said, sure, you can go out and speed. I said, but you know, if you speed and you run up on the sidewalk and you put people's lives in danger, those other people there are the injured party, and they could pull you into court. They could call a cop, and he could write you a summons into court because you put their lives in danger. Now you have an injured party. Now you have a legitimate bitch. But listen, if you're a king in your country and you got a Maserati and you go out on the Autobahn and you do 160 miles an hour, what cop is going to pull the king over and say, I'm sorry, your excellency, but guess what? You were speeding. I'm writing you a ticket. And the king's going to say, you know what? You can't write me a ticket, off with your head. You know? So you have to be mature to have freedom. I mean, are you going to do 150 miles an hour on a crowded city street? Well, you know what? Back when the Magna Carta was around, they were already picking the kings from the people. You weren't necessarily born into it. The people got together and they picked the king. And guess what? If that king started abusing the people used to pull him in. That was the whole point of the Magna Carta. Listen, they believed in that higher power, and they said, you know, okay, the king receives his power through the power of God to rule us. When he starts usurping and stepping over that power, we can take it away because he doesn't have that right. And then he ceases to be king, would take his head off. So you see, the government, they want to be a king. They want to be the king, and they don't want to answer to anybody, and they want us to be the subjects. And it's the other way around. They're the subjects. We're the kings. And of course, when we say that, they say you're a terrorist. Well, yeah. They, you know, listen, we have freedom when the government's afraid of the people, no? You have tyranny when the people are afraid of the government. If the government's afraid of the people, then we have freedom. And my goal in life is to make them fear us. That's where I want to be. I want them to fear me. When I have a cop behind me, I don't want to sit down and duck down in a seat. I want to stand up and make sure he's doing the right thing, and he's not tailgating me to try to get my plate number when I'm not doing anything. And if he does, I'm going to pull him over, and I'm going to say, listen, you're tailgating me. I'm an injured party. You're putting my life at risk. Get back, or I'm going to take you to court. What a novel idea.
Hey, Gerard?
Right, we've got a lot of people in the room, so if anybody wants to talk, maybe they can just hit star 8, raise your hand, and we'll acknowledge you. Go ahead, Ken.
That whole dissertation on Madison, the whole issue that he was dealing with was the states wanted a bill of prohibitions, not a bill of rights, and that's what they got. That's exactly what they got, because the preamble to the first 10 amendments said that they wanted further declarations and prohibitions, and that's what they got.
All right, Northeast from New York, you're unmuted.
Skip Stranahan up here.
Hey, Skip, how you doing?
I'm doing great. We got the library there. It's Crandall Library. It'll be from 12 to 2. We can run over a little bit if we want to, getting some folks ready to go there. The only thing is, I need you to pray for me tonight because I got jury duty all week.
What's that?
Hey, have you been here from the beginning? Did you hear the little speech I gave concerning what tonight is all about?
I was here from the beginning all the time there. I kept pushing the 8 and didn't push the star like an idiot, and I figured it out there.
Oh, what's wrong with you? Okay, well, anyway, you know, you see what we found. This is hugely powerful. You have to help us to organize the state and get as many people as possible. I did talk with Alan Gary, who's been helping to organize, and what's the other guy's name? Denver, okay? And I send them an email. They may help us. Hopefully they'll jump on board and help us to organize the counties to get people involved in every county so we can build this grand jury. So we're going to kind of count on you, too, to help us get as many people as possible involved in this and twist some arms.
Well, I don't think that'll be any problem to get people involved in it. I'll see how many we can get together up here for the first meeting here, and it should build right from there.
Okay.
A lot of people on board right now with We the People and our other organization that works. We actually do that library on Saturday every weekend anyhow with our Justice and Development Foundation. So.
Well, I was thinking of giving a call to Bob Schultz to see if we can get him involved in our work here with us. You know, I don't know, have you spoken with him lately? Maybe you can see if you can get him up to Warren County.
Castleton meeting that we had in Castleton. Well, I forgot which night it was there, but I was in down in the town of Castleton there for that meeting. I called
you. You mean Catskill? You were in Catskill.
Catskill, I mean.
Yeah.
I get the two of them confused. I worked in the other one quite a little bit.
Right.
I know people all over this state, and I actually I'm on right now tonight with some of these people right here, and I'm actually telling one of the gals about common law right now here on here. So,
okay.
I probably got, I don't know, 770 or 770 people that are following me online right now tonight. So,
right. Well, we can move. Look, we got. I'd like to get the state organized in 30 days. I'd like to start election of the grand juries at the end of those 30 days, and in 90 days, we the people can turn this entire state right side up again. Okay, we can do it. This is huge. This is powerful. I hope people really understand the power of what we are talking about. I would like to read this one more time, this stunning decision by the U.S. Supreme Court in a 6-3 decision where they said, Scalia wrote this and confirmed that the American grand jury is neither part of the judicial, executive, nor legislative branches of government, but instead belongs to the people. It is, in effect, a fourth branch of government, governed and administrated to directly by and on behalf of the American people, and its authority emanates from the Bill of Rights. It is our right and our duty to do this. So it comes directly from the Fifth Amendment, which demands a traditional, functional, common law grand jury. They use the word common law grand jury. This is hugely powerful.
And that's
people
Scalia,
have to get up.
92.
Let's take the power. Let's get it done.
What'd you say?
Gerard. You were saying, Gerard?
Sit it. That's 1992. That's
yep.
Scalia. I mean, they're going to have a hard time trying to put that down.
When we have a problem with someone and they do not want to comply to us, okay, not only will we file a case against them, we'll threaten them with the case against them in the federal court. We will file that case in the federal court, but we will get an order from the federal court through a writ of mandamus to force that individual to obey the law. And the law is to back off and allow the grand jury to operate and do its thing and to obey it. Cobuzz, I see you got your hand raised. Mic is open. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, thanks for taking me back on here. I've taken real good notes here throughout the whole conversation here, and I had a quick question for Gerard. I wondered if you might send me a direct email. I'd like to maybe talk about some of the stuff I'm facing here directly with my court. I know, John, you and I meant to get together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean to call you, but the days just get away. Anyway, Gerard, I wondered if you might consult with me a little bit on that and how this comes together. I've got a whole list of questions here that we don't necessarily need to run by the whole group. But
Right. Well, you should give me your email address, or I could give you mine, too, which would be easiest. If you want to just email me something, send it to Gerard53@live.com, G-E-R-A-R-D, 53, at live, L-I-V-E.com.
Okay, great. Got it.
And I'll get back to you.
There's always Skype, too.
Yeah, Skype is Skype is really good if you can download it, because what happens with Skype is, besides the fact that we have multiple people on, it's so easy to pass files, you know, through the text chat. It works so much better than, you know, a lot of times you try to send files through email and they get messed up, and, you know, it seems to pass those files actually very quicker than even the email does. I notice sometimes you put a big file on email and you got to use SkyDrive and all this other baloney to get it through. We never have that kind of trouble with Skype. So if you want to get into a protracted thing, Skype I find is much easier. And plus, I have a Skype phone number, so like if I'm not on the computer and you hit my Skype, it rolls into my cell phone.
Yeah.
So I'm very accessible through Skype, you know.
Okay, great. I'll correspond with you through email and get all your information that way.
Yep.
I do have some other questions that I want to run through for the group here, just real quick. I'm looking for materials to maybe sell this to my group, because I won't have a problem getting together 25 people. It's pretty, not like a big task.
Right.
You know, if you go out to newyorkcommittyman.org, on the left side, you'll see a talk shoe box. Okay, this is episode 24. We will name it a grand jury. And so you can have people go listen to that, and they'll hear the beginning of our presentation here, and they can hear this whole conversation we're having right now, which, by the way,
archive.
10 o'clock. Let me think a minute here. Maybe we should end the recording. We'll continue the evening, but we're going to end the recording right now.
Right.
Well, you think we should let it go? Well, see, people won't listen if it's too long, so I'm going to end the recording.
I want to say one more thing for people that are newbies. We have a couple of newbies. If you go to New York Committeeman and you go to the Common Law tab. I don't know if you have to go on Judicial Process and then Common Law.
Yeah, you have to go Judicial Process, and then you get to all the law stuff.
Now, in the Common Law stuff, there's three audios by Thornton, and they're an hour apiece. If you listen to those three, if you take the three out of time and listen to the three audios, it's almost better than going through Bagnarik's 8-hour Constitution course, or it's as good, because he's going to introduce you to this concept of, like, the court of record and freedom. You know, I mean, he starts out, he says, the first thing I do when I go to court is I fire the judge. You say, what? So, you know, it's interesting. It's not boring stuff. I mean, not to me anyway, you know. I mean, I guess if you got a soap opera you're missing or something like that, or you want to see some other show, you know, you have to tear yourself away from that. I find this stuff, I don't even watch television anymore because I just fill my days and nights with this because I feel like I'm wasting time if I'm not sucking more of this stuff in, you know? And that's what it gets to be. And you know, what happens with this stuff is you won't sleep at night anymore. To be up all night on a computer getting educated. It's
hey,
really an addiction.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Skip. Skip,
and,
by the way, do you want to take on the task of organizing your county? You're in Warren County, right? Do you want me to put your name in, or do you want to get some other people up there that will be contacts for the county?
Who are you speaking to?
Skip. Skip, you still with us? No, maybe he walked away from his phone. I see he's still in the room now. All right, well, anyway, let me end the recording. We're not going to end the conversation, but I don't like the recording going too long because people see a long recording, then they don't listen to it. And, you know, so hang on one second.